Hey everybody, welcome back to the Financial Freedom Show. My name is Rob Berger. Today I thought I would share with you, I guess more of a personal video. I want to talk about some of the surprises that were in store for me when I retired. I've retired several times, but sort of in my own mind, my official retirement date was about 4 years ago. I was a lawyer for, 25 years, something like that. Went part-time the last 4 years, and so that I kind of transitioned into retirement. But after I retired, I had a sort of a side business that I ran, ended up selling that. And then in 2018, I actually went to work for Forbes. So I kind of retired and then went back to work. But I left Forbes in about 2020. And since then, yeah, I've got a YouTube channel. I do a few other things for fun on the side. But I've more or less been retired for the last 4 years. And I've learned a lot. I'm sure I've got a lot more to learn, but I've learned a lot in those 4 years, and I want to share seven of those things with you. Many of them, maybe most of them, I don't know, kind of took me by surprise. The first one, we'll start with maybe the big one in some respects, was that retirement for me, anyway, was a big, big adjustment. And that's true, even though I sort of, as I kind of described a moment ago, I sort of eased my way into retirement. I went part-time as a lawyer. Yeah, I ended up working at Forbes, and that was full-time, but I worked from home. I had no one looking over my shoulder. It was very lifestyle friendly. So I had the opportunity to sort of ease into retirement. And yet when I actually retired, it wasn't such an easy transition for me. And that really surprised me. Here was my thinking at the time. I've got family. I've got friends. I've got a lot of interests and hobbies and things that I enjoy doing. I can't wait to retire. This is going to be easy. It turned out maybe not to be so easy though. I mean, for one thing, hobbies are great. Particularly when they're a relatively small part of your day because, you know, you're working full-time, maybe raising a family, that doesn't necessarily mean as much as you enjoy playing golf on the weekends that you want to play golf twice a day, 7 days a week. Now, maybe you do, and if that's you, that's terrific, but as much as I enjoyed the hobbies that I have and the interests, it was difficult turning those sort of into a thing that was going to occupy my day for large stretches of time. And there was another aspect to it. I retired fairly young in my 50s. And believe it or not, I'm still in my 50s. So I'm on certainly the young side for those that have retired. But I am in the second half of my life. I mean, odds are I'm not going to live to be, 120. So there was part of me that sort of like, you've only got so many at-bats left. Hopefully you've got a few more, but you got to really make them count. And so I was almost stuck. If I say yes to this, that's saying no to these 12 things over here. And I found it very difficult to commit to something or to focus on something because all I kept thinking about were the other things that I wasn't doing. And it took me a good year, believe it or not, to sort of overcome that. It drove me crazy and it drove my wife crazy, more importantly, I might add. And so she kind of, with some tough love, helped me work through it, but it did take about a year. So that's sort of the first thing. There was a transition to retirement, at least for me, and it took me a while to work through it. Now, I don't know how I worked through it, to be honest with you. I just started making choices and living with them. I guess, I started living. Like, what else are we going to do? That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is related to hobbies. I alluded to this. You might have some great hobbies. They may be a part of your retirement. I have several. For example, I like to study and play chess, and I even play tournament chess, but I'm not the kind of person that can sit in front of a chessboard or in front of a computer with a chess program running 8 hours a day. I just don't enjoy that. I don't have hobbies where they really can consume a large part of my day. I just get tired of it. And so, yeah, it might consume an hour, maybe two, but what I found was hobbies really weren't the answer for me. When it comes to retirement, they might be part of the answer, but it was going to be a lot more than just hobbies and what are my interests in retirement. And I think part of that equation for me is that a lot of my hobbies are just me, like playing chess. Particularly if I'm playing online, I'm not around other people. Now you can go to a chess tournament, for example, and yes, you're around a lot of people, most of whom you don't know, but you are around a lot of people. But there are other hobbies that you might have where they're very much social. Maybe you love to play bridge and you've got a bridge partner and you, of course, play other teams in bridge and it's a very social kind of hobby. I think those can be absolutely wonderful in retirement. But I think if your hobbies you're solo in your hobbies, think long and hard about that. Again, that may work for you. But I think hobbies that have a social component to them, and or hobbies that you can introduce a social component into, can help a lot. And that's certainly been the case for me when it comes to other hobbies that I have, like fitness, for example. All right, number three, spending. We talk, of course, about retirement from a planning and money perspective on this channel, and part of that is spending all of the money or some of the money that you've spent decades saving and investing. It turns out that's really hard to do too. I didn't want to spend that money. I didn't like the idea of tapping into my our investment accounts, even though that's exactly what they're there for, and it's why I've been saving for the last few decades, was to spend them in retirement. But it was really, really hard to do psychologically. Now, I will tell you, for better or worse, it gets easier. Once you've lived through retirement for a number of months, maybe a year, maybe two, it just becomes normal. You just expect that, depending on your circumstances and other sources of income, you're going to have to take some amount of your spending money from your investments, and you just do it. But I will tell you, for me anyway, that was a bit of a hurdle to clear. All right, that was number three. Number four also relates to money. You know, I spent a lot of time studying things like the 4% rule and other withdrawal strategies before retirement. And in my mind, here's how I saw it playing out. I would pick some withdrawal strategy, maybe the 4% rule, and that would then dictate how much I can spend. So I'll follow that rule, pull the money out, and then I'll spend it. I might not spend every dollar of it. I might have some left over that I roll over to the next year. But basically, it's pick a spending strategy and then use it to drive how you pull money out of your accounts and how you spend. And I found that that's actually, not what we do at all. What we do is we spend our money. Now, we don't have total disregard for how much we have and general spending rules, but we're basically, here's our expenses, here's our fixed expenses, here are some of the things we'd like to do each year, and we spend that money. And it's only after that that I think about the withdrawal strategy. So it's not withdrawal strategies dictate spending, it's spending first, and then I use the withdrawal strategies for sort of as a sanity check. Am I going off a cliff here? Is my spending in check? Am I headed for trouble? So I'll use different withdrawal strategies just to make sure, I'm staying in the lane, right? But beyond that, I'm not actually dictating our spending based on some either simple or complex withdrawal strategy. Just using them to make sure, we're staying in between the ditches financially. That's just been our experience so far. So that's number four. Number five, this one came as a surprise to me, but both my wife and I have found retirement to be busy, busy, busy. We sit and, we have coffee every morning. I make coffee, take it up to her in bed, and we sit there and talk. And we're like, I don't know how people do it that have to go to work every day. Where do they find the time? That was a big surprise to me. I just figured with retirement, you have all this free time, and we don't. Now, maybe partly it's our lives. Of course, our children live close by. We have a granddaughter that lives close by. My wife, has her interests and her friends. I have mine. We try to stay in shape. So there's time spent going to the gym or other sort of fitness activities. As you're getting older, you have health issues, whatever they are. You got to go to doctors. You got to go to the physical therapist, to work on that bad back of mine. And these things just fill up your day. And, we come home, we're like, we're exhausted, and we don't have a 9-to-5 job. Retirement can be just as busy, it can be just as stressful, believe it or not, as when you were, working the 9-to-5. At least that's what I found. And my ultimate thinking on that is, you don't become a different person just because you retire. You take whatever baggage you have and whatever, personalities and character traits that inform who you are and informed your working years, and they bring all that with you into retirement. And so it's, for us, that just has sort of translated into a very, very busy retirement. And we have to work on slowing things down, looking at the calendar. No, we're saying no to things. They might be good things, time with family or whatever. But we sometimes have to say, okay, we can't do all of that this week, and we have to allot time for ourselves. So that was a big surprise to me. Retirement can be really, really busy. All right, that's number five. Number six, friendships. A lot of studies, and you'll read a lot of articles about this, that the social aspect of retirement is critically important. And I found that to be true as well. Now, for us, a lot of sort of the social interaction for us is with family. But in my case, I found that friendships are important too. And frankly, it doesn't come naturally to me. A lot of my, and the reason is a lot of the friends that I had were from work. And of course, when you're not going into the office every day, you tend to slowly lose those connections. And so I've worked hard. In fact, I'm having lunch with a former law partner, a good friend of mine, tomorrow. We get lunch about once every 3 or 4 months. But I have a number of other colleagues where we sort of do the same thing. And I have friends in the neighborhood where we'll get coffee, once a month or whatever. And you add that all up, and it adds a pretty important social element to retirement and keeping you connected with friends. And I think that's so important. And frankly, it's something that I think I need to do an even better job with in retirement. Because, if you just sort of let it go naturally and not put the effort in, I think you can find yourself really living almost in isolation, depending on your circumstances. And so having those connections, it takes effort. And that's the sixth thing that I have learned in retirement. Talking is apparently not something I have learned, but maybe that'll be next year. The seventh thing, and final thing, I know you're grateful. And this is particularly useful, I think, to people who, and this describes me, who are sort of very goal-based in their thinking. Everything for me was a goal. You go to law school to become a lawyer. You become a lawyer, I worked at a big firm, become an associate. Why? Well, so I can become a partner. Why? Well, you can make some money. You can buy a house. Why? Well, then you can improve it. And then you can get a second home, maybe, or you can send your kids to college. All of these things are, they're not bad things, but it was as if everything was a stepping stone rather than, enjoy it for what it is. And so a book that I would highly recommend if this is you at all is called Mastery. Now, Robert Greene wrote a book called Mastery. That is not this book. This is a different book. It's by George Leonard. I'll leave a link to it below the video if you want to check it out on Amazon. I suppose you might be able to get it at your local library. It was actually published in 1992, I believe. But the idea behind this book is it says, look, not everything has to have a goal, right? Like, if you think about competitions and games, they're won or they're lost. But, when I go to yoga each day and I come home, my wife says, "So, who won?" Well, it wasn't really a competition, right? It wasn't a game. I suppose I view myself as having won if I don't hurt myself. And that kind of is the point. I can be very, very goal-based where I can say, yeah, I did have a goal. I want to be able to touch my toes without bending my knees. Something I cannot do, I can't come close to doing, and I might never be able to do that. But if that were my sole focus, yoga would be a very frustrating experience for me. And what Robert Leonard says, or excuse me, George Leonard in Mastery says is, look, you really ought to lean into what he calls the plateau, that period of time where you're doing, and whatever it might be, maybe you're golfing, maybe you're fishing, maybe you're scrapbooking, maybe you're writing a novel. Maybe, like me, you go to yoga. There's going to be a lot of time where you don't feel like you're making progress. That's okay. And in fact, most of the time will probably feel like that. If you're solely focused on some end goal, that plateau period is going to be very, very frustrating. But if you sort of push the goal out of your mind and say, look, what I want to focus on is just enjoying what I'm doing, enjoying creating this YouTube video. I don't know how many views it will get. Maybe you won't do very well at all, but I've had fun recording it. Hopefully you'll find something useful in it. But I've enjoyed this process. It doesn't matter. Well, it matters, I suppose, but my focus isn't on the end goal or some goal or statistic about how this video does. Yoga is very much the same way with me. I want to sort of enjoy that plateau, just enjoy the thing that I'm doing rather than being hyper-focused on some end result so that I can get to some other level so that I can then level up again. And I think that's really true once you reach retirement, because a lot of the built-in goals that you had are gone, right? I don't have a career goal anymore. I don't have a career. I don't have the goal of sort of getting my kids through high school because they're already through high school and college and living on their own. And so, a lot of the goals that I had, I guess, have been achieved, or I've touching my toes without bending my knees, I've just given up on them. But that's okay. And I think a lot of retirement is about, it's about mastery, maybe, right? It's about enjoying the plateau. It's about enjoying the thing you're doing, particularly when it comes to something like fitness. Half of my goal, if I had a goal, would be just not to get hurt so that I can come back tomorrow and enjoy the same plateau. So there you go. Those are seven things that I have learned through, I guess it's been 4 years of retirement. I guess I'm still a newbie with all of this. But those are my seven things. If you've retired and you've learned a thing or two, love to hear about it. Leave it in the comments below this video. And until next time, remember, the best thing money can buy is financial freedom.